This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line here on a football Friday, coming to you three wide from the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at Circa. Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick, and won a national title with the Colorado Buffaloes in the early 90s. Coming up 30 minutes from now, Dan Leberfeld of Jets Confidential, SiriusXM. He'll join us as we talk gangrene here in 30 minutes, how they will perform against the Dallas Cowboys and what to expect with Zach Wilson now as the old new QB1 for the New York Jets. We'll get to Dan Leberfeld at 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific time. But while we have a little bit of time here, let's talk a little contest, shall we? The Circa Survivor, the Circa Millions, rolling along, heading into week two. Obviously, the contest line last night pushed with the Eagles laying 6, Vikings getting 6. So anybody who had those, you go ahead and get a push. And nope, you don't lose, but you don't win. But before we get to the Survivor, what do you think are going to be some of the more popular Circa Million plays this upcoming week for week two?
I think Cincinnati will be. I think Cincinnati will probably be one of the consensus plays. I have to go through Femi and look at actually what our numbers were, because
Cincinnati's 3 in the hook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have them all in front of you.
Yeah, I have them all up.
I would have to know where the number was. Which, to your point, and Michael Lombardi often talks about this. We're trying to anticipate the closing number, so that's kind of a signal to people. Where we think the closing number is going to go. The Titans may be a sneaky play from some of the sharper bettors here. Consensus. Chiefs at 3 could be a play since it's at the key number of 3. The halves are hard to lay, like the 3.5s. I don't think people are going to lay. 49ers, 7.5 probably won't be a consensus play. You might get some Cowboy money there. Not the Broncos at 3.5, but I wonder if the Broncos won't be a top 5 survivor play.
I could see
over
that.
over the Commanders. You might get some Dolphins at the 2.5, Browns at the 2.5. I like the Bucks a lot at 2.5. Yeah. So those are I'll toss those out there as possibly top 5 consensus plays.
Yeah, and last year I was doing a contest show and certainly the consensus was not the way to follow.
No.
At some point, right? That thing diverged big time. But here's where it does get tricky. In terms, I like Tampa a lot this week. But yeah, from a consensus standpoint, I don't know if I would try to guess that because of how poorly that did down the stretch in this contest last year.
Neither of you guys mentioned Detroit, who we just saw beat the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And we also saw the Seahawks get blasted by the 6.5 win total Los Angeles Rams. Do you think Detroit laying 4.5 at home opener, raucous environment, probably going to be the craziest environment of any game in week two?
Yeah, and we have a lean that way, too, with our customer base as well. You know, we have a big Michigan contingent with Derek's background and a lot of our team's background there. I can see that, but that's, I think also people are going to say that might be a bit of an overreaction. Remember, like, they played this game last year, and Seattle put up like 8 million points at Ford Field. They just never stopped scoring in that game. So that's a sneaky one, too. That could be, Femi. I mean, are the Seahawks that bad? They had, what, 3 total yards in the second half? They had no shot in that game.
It's terrible.
That, to me, was the most shocking result.
Yep.
Not that Dallas won 40-0. To me, that the Rams totally dominated them in Seattle was the most shocking result of the first week.
Yeah, Geno has not had the comfort of home field advantage up there in Seattle. They have been bad. Last year, they were poor at home, and then certainly to start out this year.
Is it really that? Is that an overrated thing, that 12th man? Was it really home field because the teams were just so good that, or is that stadium actually one of the toughest places to play?
If you combine a stadium with the team being that good, then it's a home field advantage big time. We played in the Kingdome back in the day. Mm-hmm. And when we got it going, I couldn't hear you. And you're right next to me. I mean, you could not hear next to you. But it was a dome. It was a cement ceiling, too. And so all those sounds you could hear, it was a crazy environment.
When you were on offense, mm-hmm. was the crowd quiet enough that it didn't disrupt the snap
right,
count?
Right.
So and, it's a huge, that's the biggest home field advantage is a dome stadium where you can disrupt the snap count of an offense.
Of an offense.
Get that pass rush.
1,000%. 1,000%. I think, you know, as an offensive player, too, you know, you try to just lock in and focus in that you really, it's like that Kevin Costner movie, you know, turn on a mechanism, right? And everything goes silent. It truly happens that way. You don't hear anything because you're so focused, acutely focused on what your job is. But if you aren't that poised as a team, which there's several teams in the league like that, crowd noise can get to you and could rattle you.
You might not be old enough to, but remember when they would stop, the referees would stop and they'd make the crowd quiet down because the quarterback would say, You can't come in, we're going to give you a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah.
And those domes, it was did. So loud.
Yeah. I'm definitely not old enough to remember that.
You don't remember that?
I remember that.
I used to do that.
I was like, everyone's always been loud whenever they're
old. And then they used to have the rule, they would stop and say, you have to quiet down.
Or it was up to the referee at times because the quarterback would complain that they take it too far and the referee be like, yeah, nope.
Flag. I was like, I've seen that at Wimbledon, but I've never seen that.
Oh yeah. We're old, Femi. We're old.
Even in Detroit, it would get so loud.
Pontiac Dome, the Silver Dome.
Silver Dome.
That's a new one. Yeah,
I did not know that. About the about the door. You know about the dock, the door, and how if you open that thing, what it does to the football. We'll get into that discussion another time.
All right.
They got us in a game one time.
Jeez. Yeah. Oh, these are the old quirks in the NFL that I was unaware of. How about Circa Survivor, though? This is one that I know, Mike, obviously you can't play. We have working here in Circa. But Pritch, I believe you're through to week two?
Yeah.
Are you through? All right. Sweet. Yeah. So both Pritch and I are through to week two. Who did you use last week?
What I did is I went to everybody.
How many entries do you have?
I just have one.
One. Okay. Yeah. You both have one.
Just one entry. Right. Yep.
I thought Washington was going to blow it, but everybody used Washington. Yeah. So, yeah. Now, this week, it's interesting because Buffalo, I'm tempted. Because the thing about Buffalo to me, and, you know, the Raiders are banged up a little bit. Jacoby Myers, I don't think he's going to play. And then Devontae's got an ankle issue. Right. And it's the first true road game, I think, that way. I mean, the divisional game, Denver, you kind of own Denver. Buffalo, they are more the same, right? And I don't see this team evolving. In fact, all offseason, I talked about Buffalo kind of regressing. And we saw that in game one against the Jets. And in particular, Josh Allen. Josh Allen has the choke gene. He's had that for his entire career so far. I mean, think about some big games that he's played in and how he's choked. Now, he's come through in some big games too, but Miami pulling a string, I remember this vividly, fumbling the snap against, the Vikings last year?
The Vikings, yep.
And then, okay, now he's throwing the ball all over the place and then fumbling and all that stuff. So he's got a choke gene about him, but there's no evolution of, they still can't run the football. There's still no physical presence that way. Now, defensively, I think when Zach Wilson was on the field, okay, that defense could really get after it. But this, to me, might be the best chance to use Buffalo because as it gets more into their schedule and thicker into their schedule, I don't know if I can rely on them later on in a year.
I think that's a fair thing to consider. And I found myself in this position in week two last year. I used Denver. I think they were like 10-point favorites at home against Houston. I was like, oh, that should be an easy one. You know, I'll just go with Denver, go with the masses. And I was watching that game. I was like, this Denver, I'm glad I used them because I don't want any parts of this team. And of course, we all know how Denver's season ended last year. But I think Buffalo is probably going to be the consensus pick, I think, in Survivor. Just because the Cowboys have Thanksgiving implications. And then the Niners have Thanksgiving and Christmas implications here. For those of you that are playing the Circus Survivor, the conventional survivors, I think Dallas will probably be the number one choice when there's no Thanksgiving. But I think the Bills are going to be the top choice.
Yeah, they will be because people will save Dallas.
Yeah.
And
San Francisco. You got
to
use both.
To me, the question is, do all these folks that said they were going to fade Arizona every week, do they have the guts to take that Giants team on the road this week against it? That's the big, I want to know how many people will do that because they were convinced before the year, we're going to fade Arizona. And I think people have multiple entries and they may designate one or more and say, I'm just going to do that with one of them. And so they will on one or two entries have the Giants. It's interesting to me. I think I get your point about Buffalo. Maybe they're not as good as we think, and let's use them now against the Raiders. But there's a couple home spots for them on the schedule where they're home to the Giants, they're home to the Buccaneers, that you could probably use them down the road. If it was me, I would have taken the Commanders last week, and I would take Buffalo this week.
Yeah. But you go the conventional route.
I would take
route.
The conventional route still at this
well,
point.
Well, the thing about it, so game theory, like, do you risk entries at this point, or do you kind of hold them in the bag? Like, say you got 10, like, say you max out, right? Or say you even have five. Like, do you use a couple of them on, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I think you shove. I think through the first X weeks, whether it's 4, 6, or 8, you shove with your 10.
Yeah.
Unless you're so conflicted that you just don't believe in any pick. But the point you bought 10 entries is so that when you get down to 1,000 people, you have flexibility.
Right. Yep.
That's why you have the 10 entries. You're not trying to have 10 entries so you get to Thanksgiving with one or two left. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get to Thanksgiving with six, 10 left. I mean, that's where you have the big advantage. I don't think you can think about Christmas that much. I think you have to concentrate to get to Thanksgiving and then play it from there, because it may not even get to Christmas, just the way the thing plays out. I know it has every year we've had undefeated, but you never know.
Right.
You never know.
Yeah. No, I think because last week I used the Falcons, and that was one of it wasn't like off the radar because 300 other people used the Falcons as well. But I think we're going to go and roll the dice again. I haven't decided which team I'm going to go.
Is Denver in your...
They're under consideration, okay, but yeah. I don't know. I don't really necessarily lean that way.
Okay.
There's another team that I lean about that I'll tell you guys during the break here, but I don't want to share it over the airways. Yeah, it's a contest, all right? I can't have everything out there. We'll discuss some more week 2 NFL stuff on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abbafe, on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line hanging out here on the DraftKings Network. That's Mike Pritchard. This is Mike Palm. I'm Femi Abbafe here at Circa Resort and Casino. Want to get some updated news. This from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid talking to the reporters out there in Kansas City, saying that both Travis Kelce, their star tight end, and their star defensive tackle Chris Jones will both be on the field Sunday versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. And as you can see in the market, we have started to see some Chiefs money enter. So right now we're seeing 3.5, but the 3.5s are even money. So it's still got to pay -120 if you want to get Jacksonville. Other shops over at South Point, they're -110 each way. So if you want to get Jags 3.5 -110, you can go ahead and do that. But a little bit of movement in the market now that Jones and Kelce are confirmed in and will be active Sunday down in Duval County. So we will make sure to keep our eyes on the line movement for that one. But we begin, as we were talking Survivor in the last segment, a game that is going to be really interesting as it pertains to Survivor. One of the biggest favorites on the board, in fact, is the biggest favorite, is the Dallas Cowboys at home against the New York Jets. Right now over at DraftKings, the Cowboys are 9-point favorites. 9 tends to be the consensus number. There are there's an 8.5 here at Circa where we sit right now, but the total sits at 38.5. Of course, Zach Wilson will be the starting QB for Gangrene. And do you give the Jets any hope to possibly knock off the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday?
Well, I ask you, Femi, because you obviously follow them very closely. Mm-hmm. Was Sunday night more about how good Dallas is, or was it more about how inept the Giants were?
I mean, to look that bad, the other team has to do something right as well. But I think it was more about how bad the Giants are.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I didn't think Dallas was spectacular. I thought they were solid. I think their defense is very good. So it will, you know, I think they will put enough pressure on Zach Wilson that you can expect some mistakes and some turnovers. But this Jets team is going to have to try to use that formula that they used to beat Buffalo. I mean, they're going to play good defense. They have an elite. This might be two of the top five defenses in the league in this game.
Yeah.
They have an elite defense. Wilson has to not turn the ball over, and he's going to have to make some plays on third down. Let's be honest. He can't, you know, this isn't a team. It can be a Trent Dilfer can come in and just manage a game and they're going to get to a Super Bowl. It's not that kind of a team.
No.
He's still going to have to make some plays. So I mean, nine's a big number in the NFL. It's a very, very big number, and
especially with that total.
I 38 and a half. I'm not interested in laying it. I think you'll see a ton of people teasing Dallas in there as one of their legs.
Totally agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, two great defenses. I mean, personnel wise, fundamental standpoint, Dallas attacking the ball, creating turnovers. They create turnovers. And if you're not ready for that, and I think the Jets, here's a problem with the Jets, and we saw it play out. Hackett does not trust Zach. I mean, look, some of the plays he was calling, look, I don't trust you, right? I don't know you. He knows Aaron.
Yeah.
And that's what the fit was. The fit was Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett. It wasn't Zach and Hackett. So they got to figure that thing out, whether or not Zach or Hackett can trust him with a collection of plays. They'll have core plays. They'll try to do that. But they're going to run the football. Can Dallas repeatedly stuff the run? And I think Dallas, they ran the ball the third most last week because they had to, or they didn't have to, because they could. Mm-hmm. They ran it over, 50, almost 55% of their play selection was a running game. I don't know if they're going to do that or if they can do that against Quinnen and this Jets front. So they're going to have to throw it. And then I'm wondering about the challenge of throwing it. Dak Prescott, the challenge of him throwing it against an elite defense. So it's a big number. It really is. And with that Jets defense, I get it. Zach Wilson is not very good at all right at this stage of his career. But if you can run the football and play physical on defense, those games tend to be closer than people think.
Yeah, the buddy cop of Zach and Hack for the New York Jets. we'll get that going forward here. But I agree with you guys. I would never lay this number, to be honest. And if anything, I would consider taking the points with the Jets, even though it's Zach Wilson against a really good defense. And you can already see it now. Micah Parsons tracking him down, sack fumble and all that stuff. Mm. But I think the Jets defensively are up to the task to keep this game close. And I also think with what you brought about, what did we see from Dallas last Sunday? I don't think we saw anything. Because we didn't have to see anything. They just said, okay, they're going to spot us all these points. Let's just go out there, not screw it up, get out of here. It's a sloppy weather game. Like, let's go home and get a victory, start the year 1-0. I'm curious to see what this Mike McCarthy, Brian Schottenheimer offense looks like against one of the five best defenses in the league, because that's been the big question about Dallas all offseason. And the Jets are going to ask those uncomfortable questions of the Cowboys. Can they respond? I think we'll find out. But to lay that big number when we really haven't seen anything from the McCarthy-led offense, I think that's a fool's play there. I think it's either Jets or pass the game, to be quite honest. Like, or maybe you bet the under. I mean, the total's basement low, but I could see this being a 17-14 kind of game, to be quite honest.
Rich, we talk about how, like, in Detroit, the Lions can tailor an offense around what Jared Goff does well, right? Mm-hmm. Get it out quick, drive the ball, inside routes. Do we know what Wilson does well enough for them to tailor an offense to him?
No, we don't. You know, I would suspect a ton of screens, you know, and stuff like that, high percentage type of plays, because, you know, his ability to read downfield or to progress through coverages, it just hasn't materialized, right? He plays the position so loose too. Like, his footwork gets out of whack and he doesn't know where to go with the football. And you can tell that. And all you got to do is rattle him. And so from a tendency standpoint, Dallas will do that. But if you're Hackett, okay, you counter that by running the football. Don't make the mistakes, because you do have a high caliber defense, right? A punt is not bad in a game like this. That's why it profiles to be one of those tighter type games. Mm-hmm. You know, is Dak Prescott going to be prolific against this Jets defense with a new play caller, a new situation in terms of trying to throw the football? They want to run the football and they want to use play action. That was McCarthy. And certainly that's the essence of the West Coast style offense. So if they can't run the football, if the Jets shut that down, you know, from a drop back standpoint, is Dak ready to be that guy to distribute the ball against that secondary?
We'll find out. I mean, Brandon Cooks, it doesn't sound like he's going to practice at all this week for the Dallas Cowboys. He's their wide receiver, too, dealing with a knee injury. Jerry Jones said, because Jerry Jones is the one that gives the injury reports. It's not Mike McCarthy. Jerry Jones on the radio said that Brandon Cooks doesn't have to practice in order to play. So they'll take it all the way up to the game Sunday afternoon.
That's torn off shot talking right there.
Yeah, that's what that sounds like, giving that good stuff. But for those who want to get frisky, though, would you say that the Jets is correlated with the under? Like, would you parlay +9 with under 38 and a half there? Is that correlated?
But don't you see a scenario where Dallas wins this game 24-10? Don't you see those things?
Yeah.
I think it is correlated, absolutely, yeah. Numerically. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I see worlds where the Jets don't score more than 10 points. So I worry about the turnovers because I think that Wilson will turn the ball over.
That's your point.
That's what they're designed to do, put pressure and turn you over.
Right.
And we have questioned his decision, like you say, being able to read down the field and make his progressions. And I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah. If you're Hackett, though, and you look at your backfield and you got Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook, like, okay, do I want the ball to go to those guys or do I want Zach to have the ball? Right. I mean, you have to think that way. At least coordinators will think that way. Game planning, they'll think that way. If it gets to a point where, okay, we have to trust Zach and see what he could do, now you're forced into that. But from a game planning standpoint, you have these guys in the backfield. You have these weapons on the outside, you know, Garrett Wilson, all get rid of the ball quick, high percentage stuff, and let's matriculate if we can. Because if we do get in situations where we're holding the ball and Zach's got to create something and make something, that's going to get difficult. But we can simplify the game with the 1-2 punch that we have in the backfield and certainly what we have on the outside as well.
Yeah, I think getting rid of the ball quickly is going to be key. Because that Jets offensive line, which not many people talked about after last week because everyone discussed the Aaron Rodgers injury, and rightfully so, but the Jets O-line versus the Cowboys defensive front could be a mismatch in favor of Dallas. Mm-hmm. Like, Dallas might have the best pass rush in the league, and the Jets, from a pass-protecting standpoint, a little bit shaky.
Well, so, on the other side, too, because you got Zach Martin with an injury.
Yeah,
and then
he's banged up a little
and
bit.
And then you certainly have the defensive front for the Jets as well.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. I get that vibe. There's not going to be a lot of points. Not saying that I want to bet under 38.5, but if you're interested in the Jets, I think that it might be worth a correlated parlay to go ahead and take +9 and under 38.5, because I don't see how they keep this thing close if the game goes over the total. Like, that's, I don't see that scenario playing out there. Real quick, season long for the Jets, still a playoff team, or are they just going to be kind of an average team that's just competitive?
I think they have the possibility of making the playoffs. The AFC East is very interesting with Buffalo having lost on opening week. I mean, in the market now, Miami moving to favoritism. I think New England will still have something to say when all is said and done, depending on how well Mac Jones plays. So I think they're still in the mix. I have to believe they have to be looking for a more veteran quarterback. I know they have cap issues.
Yeah.
But I have to think that they have to, that they don't believe that, you know, Wilson is gonna be the guy that's gonna drive.
It's all over the place right now. Yeah. I mean, Brett Rypien could be an option because he's familiar with Hackett. Who's familiar with Hackett? That's the big problem with the Jets.
Can they find a new OC?
maybe
1-800 offensive coordinator Dan Lieberfeld joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abbefe, on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now is the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college and pro games every week, and our picks page recapping all the best bets from our guests and hosts throughout the day in one convenient place. This season, we have top VSiN experts leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, and our betting splits lets you know where the money and bets are moving every game. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings betting data every 5 minutes. You can see changes in all the action. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options. Become part of the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line hanging out on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abbefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here on a Football Friday. We'll get to the other NFL games for week two coming up in the next segment. But joining us right now to preview Jets-Cowboys this weekend is the one and only Dan Lieberfeld, Jets confidential publisher, also a host at SiriusXM. Dan, we appreciate you joining us here this morning or afternoon on the East Coast. And obviously, you have an intimate knowledge of this New York Jets organization. Are we supposed to believe Robert Saleh at face value when he says that Zach Wilson is our quarterback going forward? Or is there a scenario if Wilson plays similar to what he played like last year to where maybe they go into the veteran quarterback market to go ahead and replace their QB1?
Yeah, I think that they have to go with him this week. It's a short week. And who are you going to bring in? And they also played in overtime, which made it a shorter week as far as going out to Dallas after Monday Night Football. So it would have been very hard to bring someone else in. And also, you bring someone else in this week, Zach Wilson's confidence is not exactly sky high after last year. You bring in a potential heir apparent to him before his first start. I don't think his confidence would have had a chance doing that. So I don't think the door is closed on potentially bringing in someone else, but I don't think that doing it this week would have been the way to go. And I think they felt the same way.
Dan, I want to ask about Breece Hall. I know there were a lot of concerns coming off the ACL injury about how quickly he would be back. Would he be back for week one? He had the big run for 88 yards, goes 10 times for 127. Great move picking up Cook. Looks better in retrospective with Rodgers going down. Do we feel, or do you feel, being with the team every day, that Breece Hall is at 100% right now?
Yeah, we just got finished talking to him in the locker room, and he feels great. He's going to be on a pitch count again this week. So that's kind of semantics, because with Dalvin Cook, it's always going to be a pitch count because they're going to platoon them, so you could call it whatever you want. But he looked great. They did a tremendous job with his rehab. They took it extra slow with him. They didn't play him in the preseason, and they didn't wear him out in training camp. And the plan worked really, really well. And that combination, it could emerge to be the best in football. However, moving forward, we know you're going to see a lot of 8 and 9 in the box. You know, Buffalo had to change their defensive plan on the fly after Aaron Rodgers got hurt. You know, Dallas and the teams moving forward are going to load up that box because they probably aren't scared too much of Zach Wilson. So it's going to be harder for them to run moving forward than perhaps it was last week.
See, Dan, and that's the thing. And I love that you said that, because Nathaniel Hackett, I mean, the fit was going to be Aaron Rodgers, right, with this offense, and they're highly familiar with each other. Nathaniel Hackett, not so familiar with Zach. I guess my question to you is, with the 1-2 punch that the Jets have, and certainly trying to create those looks to where you can get Garrett Wilson one-on-one on the outside, at least you got a high safety to deal with if you're the quarterback, what is holding Zach Wilson back from executing that simplistic of an offense? I mean, if you got an 8-man front, you know you got one-on-one on the outside. Go ahead and find those type of elite receivers on the outside as well.
That's a great point, Pritch, because you look at the fact that they were running so well last week, you know, with Cook and Hall, and there still weren't a lot of passing opportunities. I mean, where is the scenario where you take advantage of them, say, these people are running like crazy on us, let's open up the passing game? Zach Wilson's basically a one-read quarterback, let's be honest. With Aaron Rodgers, the whole playbook's open. The whole field is open. With Zach Wilson, he's one of these guys, and he has a lot of company, that he is just praying the first read is open, because he really doesn't want to turn his head. He wants to go to that first read. So a lot of times it's one read and take off running. So they're doing a 180 with this offense now. Nate Hackett's going to have to be almost perfect with the first reads. It's going to be one of those situations. Get the ball in the hands of the playmaker and let him do his thing, because he's not going to go 1-2-3 check down. That's not going to happen anymore for this Jets offense with Aaron Rodgers out of the picture.
We're speaking with Dan Leberfield, publisher at Jets Confidential, also host at SiriusXM, talking Jets Cowboys coming up on Sunday. Well, Dan, the point spread right now is Cowboys 9-point favorites. The total is at 38.5. So we're not expecting this to be a high flying affair out there at Jerry World. How do you see this game playing out? Do you think the Jets can keep this game competitive within a possession? Is that defense good enough to hold down the Cowboys attack?
You know, I was a little cynical about the defense entering the year. I felt their defensive line was really good and the deepest it's been since the head coach has been here. And I liked their corners, but I had questions at linebacker and safety, because the linebackers, you know, C.J. Mosley's a good player, but he's a little older and has lost a step against the pass. And Quincy Williams is fast enough, but he takes a lot of missteps in coverage because he is so aggressive. However, they shut down those Buffalo tight ends. I mean, Buffalo, a strength of that team is supposed to be, and it could be moving forward, Kincaid at Knox at tight end. They were non-factors in that game. So now I'm a believer in this defense. See, this defense lacked a second-tier defensive line last year. The Jets are like the 49ers. They want to bring in their D-line in waves and just wear you out with good pass rushers on the first and second team. The Jets didn't have that last year. This year, their second team line is so much better, you know, with Will McDonald and Bryce Huff and Quentin Jefferson coming over from Seattle, Al Woods, not necessarily a pass rusher, but a good backup defensive tackle. So their D line is so deep. And Dak Prescott's one of these guys, you know, Femi, if you hit him a lot, he's going to throw a few picks here and there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think they're going to have that going for them. I think they're going to put a lot of pressure on Dak with their D-line. And I think they'll be, even with the stacked box, with those two guys are running back, I think they'll be able to run the ball a little bit. So I think they can hang around thanks to their defense and thanks to the running game. It's not going to be because of Zach Wilson. It's unfortunate when you say this, but they've almost got to work around him to win this game because he's very limited. And honestly, guys, you know, all this hype about him, and I'm not trying to be a Zach Wilson hater. Do you know he played four preseason games this year because they had the Hall of Fame game? And he did not lead them on one TD drive in four games. And a lot of times he was facing backups. So are we supposed to be believers when a guy plays four preseason games and he plays a lot and doesn't lead the team on one touchdown drive?
Yeah. You know, Dan, you know, we were talking about this game earlier and, you know, the total came into the conversation. It's at 38.5. Offensively for the Jets, this offensive line, what's the psyche of this line now? Because, I mean, if you are Dwayne Brown and you did what you're supposed to do, but yet Aaron Rodgers is lost for the year, I'm wondering about the confidence level of this offensive line, even with Zach Wilson now quarterback.
Well, I want to ask you, Pritch, a question based on what you said, because I'm fascinated by what you said, because you know this stuff so well. Mm-hmm. You said Dwayne Brown did what he was supposed to do. So the infamous play, you don't feel Brown did anything wrong there, really?
Well, no, because it was a quick throw. And so was Aaron ready to throw the ball at the time? Was there any cohesiveness in terms of the timing of that? I think that was not the case there. It looked like Dwayne could have whiffed on the block, though, right? And I'm thinking he's going to be Gene Stallings from North Dallas 40. They were going to cut his behind because their quarterback just got lost for the year. But, you know, I'm just curious about when you're an offensive lineman or you've been around the team, I wonder if there is there a letdown, though, because of the fact that perception could be that you're not a very good offensive line in the first place.
Well, I see. I think they are a good line. I just think they were pretty rusty coming out of the gate with Dwayne Brown coming off rotator cuff surgery. He did not play at all in the preseason, and he didn't practice at all in training camp. And, you know, Pritch, as you know, you played a long time in this league. With older players, you actually need to see them in training camp because when they fall off the cliff, if you will, and they lose it as a player, how are you going to know it if you just put him out there for the opener without seeing him at all in the preseason? I'm not saying Dwayne Brown lost it, but they didn't know what to expect from Dwayne Brown in that opener. And to be honest with you, I'm not an offensive line coach, but I'm not sure if I have a 38-year-old lineman who wasn't in camp all summer trying to do a chop block with rolling on the ground. I'd want to keep him on his feet, but what do I know about offensive line play? I mean, that's a little difficult for a 38-year-old lineman. But I think the line can be fine. The interior is good. Lakin Tomlinson, Connor McGovern, until Tippmann's ready, and, of course, Elijah Barrett Tucker. I think Mekhi Becton will get better and better at right tackles to get more comfortable. And I think Dwayne Brown obviously had a bad play, or maybe not a bad play, Pritch, in terms of your opinion on that. But he knows what he's doing out there. So it didn't look good in that first game, especially that first series for their offensive line, but I don't think it's a bad line.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, Dan, here in about 10 seconds, can the Jets make the playoffs working around Zach Wilson?
I really don't think so. I haven't seen that big of improvement. And this idea that Aaron Rodgers mentored him in 4 months? Come on, guys. No, I don't think so.
All right. He is Dan Leverfield, publisher over at Jets Confidential. Check him out at SiriusXM. Dan, we appreciate the time, man. Be well.
Anytime, guys.
All right. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abbafe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football is back in full swing with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? The DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line hanging out on the DraftKings Network here from the Circa Resort and Casino. Femi Bebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard. Thank you to Dan Leberfield of the Jets Confidential, also SiriusXM host, joined us in the last segment to help us break down the New York Jets. Boy, he doesn't have a whole lot of confidence in Zach Wilson, and I don't know how you could. So we'll see what happens with Gangrene coming up on Sunday. 9-point underdogs right now against the Dallas Cowboys. But let's actually hit one of these Monday games, because I know you guys are hot on the 8:15 Eastern, 5:15 kickoff between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was big on Pittsburgh entering the season, and they got their teeth kicked in against the Niners in week one. Well, right now they're 2.5-point home dogs. 38.5 is our total. Cam Hayward, he's already been ruled out on the short-term IR. He'll be gone for about 8 weeks or so. But can Pittsburgh kind of bounce back at home in what's kind of a must-win game here, trying to avoid going down 0-2 in two home games?
I bet the Browns already. I mean, that was one of the preseason positions I took. I bet them in week one. I thought they dominated Cincinnati. I know there were a lot of factors in there, but I think this defense is the real deal. And I also like the fact that Stefanski punted on 4th-and-3 from the third. I mean, it showed a better understanding of the game, what he's doing. Look, Pittsburgh didn't have a first down till the final drive, till they went into a 2-minute mode in the first half. They were totally dominated by the 49ers here. I think they'd have to take a big step forward to beat Cleveland. Now the game is still in Pittsburgh. We'll find out about this Cleveland defense, but under three here. I know people are on the other side. I'm going to stick with the Browns this week.
Yeah, it could be a teaser play for me with Steelers. Mm-hmm. They're a better team than what we saw. They are, you know, Seattle, we mentioned them, and now you got the Steelers, two teams that were not prepared to play their opener, home opener at that. That's going to correct itself, right?
How can you say that? You've got Tomlin and Pete Carroll.
I know.
Two of the most respected coaches in the game.
What's the common denominator, the common trait, though, between those two teams? They're very, very good. They're young, right? So the thing about Pittsburgh, even, a lot of those young players played in preseason. Okay, now you try to rev it up, but then they didn't rev it up. They didn't play well. They didn't prepare well. Obviously, the week of practice was not what it should have been. You know, Pete Carroll's going to correct that with the young team. And certainly Tomlin's going to correct that with this young team. One of the things I was looking for Pittsburgh to do was open up the offense, but not expose yourself when you open up the offense. And Pickett was not settled at all. You know, offensively, they just got so far away from who Pittsburgh typically is. Like, they want to run the football. They want to play physical. They want to get after you defensively. I think they're going to get back to more of that. And I'll be curious to see how Cleveland responds to that. But the teaser situation really is attractive to me. Because again, I get through a couple possessions. Pittsburgh in a desperate spot at home. You cannot go down 0-2 to start the year that way, especially when you have the expectations that this team has this year.
Remember last year, the week after playing the 49ers, teams were 3-14 against the spread.
49ers will beat you up.
They beat you up.
They're physical. Yeah,
very physical.
But it is a perfect teaser leg, like, though, being able to get a home dog up to 8.5 in a low total game, not a whole lot of variance. So that could be one way to play it. I don't have a bet on this game, but I do have a fun fact, because we like to share those here also on the Lombardi Line. This is the first time that the Cleveland Browns have been favored in Pittsburgh since 1989. And in that game, they won 51-0. Not saying that that's what's going to happen on Monday night, but it was Cleveland favored by two at the Three River Stadium. Let's take a look here at who the quarterback was. I mean, it was Bernie Kosar, 16 of 25, 207.
It wasn't Brian Sutton. No. That was beyond the
TJ Watt had 3 sacks last week, too,
He had 3 sacks last week.
Defensive player of the year candidate right there. Yeah. I mean, take a look at that. Conklin's hurt the right tackle for Cleveland. So you got two bookends from the Steelers too. So,
well, our buddy Michael Lombardi was also with the Cleveland Browns during that game as well. He was the director of pro personnel.
Oh,
so I think they were riding high after that 51-0 victory over the Steelers at then Three Rivers Stadium. You guys remember that, the AstroTurf?
I
know turf's been a big point of discussion this
week. Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately with the AstroTurf.
Although we did beat that behind when we went there.
I remember watching your highlights. Yeah, the Seahawks at the Steelers. Yep. And the old NFL primetime that's on YouTube. Look it up. We encourage all the kids to go ahead and check that out. But also another game that you guys are interested in is Falcons and the Packers. These are 2-1-0 teams with two young quarterbacks. And right now the Falcons, 1.5-point favorites. Total is sitting at 40. From an X's and O standpoint, I think we're going to learn a lot about the Packers run defense, because that's what the Falcons really striving is running the football. Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier, and the whole crew.
Well, this is another one of my plays. I played them as a fade of the Bears in week one. I played them again here in week two. Look, Desmond Ridder won't throw the ball down the field. He still hasn't done it. Four games last year, one game this year. He had seven completions for 17 yards in the first half. They were able to take advantage of the short fields with the Bryce Young turnovers. And, they, you know, they limited, and that was a good formula. And they were at home, and they won the game. You had him in Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Never a doubt. Nah,
as you got into the fourth quarter, they sort of took control of the game.
Believe me, I was sweating for three of them.
But I liked what I saw out of Love. I liked the fact that they – I think we might – you know, I've been very critical of LaFleur. Going 13-3 and losing home playoff games is the one seed, not improving special teams. Maybe we see how good a coach he is now without Rodgers. They score in the first possession of the game. They score in the first possession of the second half, right? The script – is there. So I'm going to continue from what I saw from week one. I think they're the better team. I think they can take advantage of a team that wants to run the ball and only throw short. And it should be good. And of the 10 o'clock window, I'm very interested in this game. I think this will be a very good game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons are the Tennessee Titans, really. Just kind of reinvent it. Back in the day when they were a running football team, and okay, can we be prolific throwing a football? Well, no, not really at times, but Ridder will evolve, I believe, but he's not there yet. But I think Atlanta's okay with that. My biggest question mark on this one is Jordan Love in a dome on the road, that kind of thing, and I'll be curious about
that. Will it get loud?
That.
They get more people for Atlanta United than they do for the Falcons.
That's a fact.
It's early enough to where there could be a situation there, but it's still on the road that way. I think against a defense that this secondary, I think Atlanta's secondary is underrated. Now, from a defensive front, can they get after the passer and all that? Maybe we'll see. But it's a veteran defense. But Arthur Smith, I mean, he's reinvented this team, and it's the Tennessee Titans all over again. But they have some dynamic players, and even if Ridder is high percentage around the line of scrimmage, the run after the catch with these guys could be incredible.
From an injury standpoint on the Green Bay Packers side, David Bakhtiari is questionable, their left tackle. Yep. Aaron Jones, their star running back, he's questionable, didn't practice at all this week. Quay Walker, questionable, currently in the concussion protocol. And then Christian Watson, who missed last week's game, he is also questionable, came back to practice on a limited basis today. So look out for the actives and inactives 90 minutes prior to kickoff in that game. A lot of key guys on the Packers just to keep in mind. Maybe that's why the betting market has liked Atlanta in this game. Last game I want to hit with you guys here, though, is Bears-Bucks. We might be going Oppo Taco on this, it sounds like, here, Mike Palm.
Why?
You like Tampa Bay.
Well, you're delusional about
Chicago.
Fields.
I bet Chicago plus
three. You
won't stop. I bet plus three.
What did you see in week one that leads you to believe that this team is better than Tampa Bay?
What I saw is a big overreaction in the market to where the look ahead had the Bears favored.
The big overreaction was between the seasons, where they thought the Bears are going to win five more games. It's ludicrous. Bad offensive line. Bad defensive line.
No argument.
Bottom tier coaching. And a quarterback that's inaccurate. We said this. They weren't competitive at home. They had the excuse for 20 years. Oh, we played Favre and Rodgers. What's your excuse now? What's your excuse now with these Bears? They're terrible.
On your own
they
show.
They are terrible.
On your own show, you're
I want to get Chris, you were high on the Raiders.
Let's get Chris's
thoughts on that. You were high on the Raiders.
Yeah.
I want your thoughts about them covering this number against Buffalo. You get a win in week one in Denver.
Davante Adams is banged up. Jacoby Myers is not going to play. They can run the football, certainly, with Josh Jacobs. Defensively, you know, the Raiders, for how prolific Buffalo is, I don't know if the Raiders are ready for that defensively. I can't even take the points with the Raiders, even though I'm tempted. Mm. But from a survivor standpoint, obviously, I mentioned this earlier, I like Buffalo. Buffalo home opener, it's just different. I know that the Raiders are already on the road practicing, I think, in Virginia or something like that. But it is Garoppolo. He got banged up. He's hurt already. He's hurt already.
I thought he would be a big upgrade over Carr in the red zone. He wasn't through one week. Right. I know it's a short, but that was disappointing. What is impressive, though, is you get the ball with 6 minutes and you don't give it back. That's hard to do.
It is hard to do.
It's really hard to do.
Yeah. The betting market likes the Raiders in this game. That line now down to 8, total 47. Oh, by the way, the Bears are going to win on Sunday. Sorry,
man. You're nuts, Femi.
Good luck laying points with Baker Mayfield. Tell me how that worked out as he's on his fourth team in 2 years.
He's a leader. Did you see him leading them?
First down.
Red says that's terrible. That's cool. It's a tough place to play. You're looking for the when they won in Minnesota.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN. Coming up next on the DraftKings Network is Pablo Turre. Here on VSiN, sports betting talk continues. Sharp Money next here on the Sports Betting Network.